The Holy Gospel lesson for this day is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, picking up with verse 24. And this is the account of Jesus appearing a second time to the disciples. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Good morning, Emmanuel. It's wonderful to be here to share God's word with you. And like each of you, I continue to lift up prayers for Pastor Ed and assume he's going to be back very, very soon, filling in here at the front, preaching the word of God. Now, this morning, I'm not going to get into a topic. And I want to tell you, this topic has become very, very controversial. And that topic is fake news. But I would like to ask you a question this morning, and that is, do you believe everything that you hear? And the answer, no doubt, really is, of course not. I don't believe everything that everyone tells me. And such was the case also this morning in our gospel reading for today. Thomas did not believe the other disciples, but as we read through the reading, we discover he later did. He did a complete 180 turn. Thomas, we are told, was absent the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples on that first Easter evening. When the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus and that Jesus had risen from the dead, he replied that he would have to first see for himself before he would believe. He would have to touch his hands and look into his side where that spear mark was placed. Now, the English translation, "the other disciples told him," in the original language, the correct language or translation is, "the other disciples kept on telling him." That means they didn't tell him simply once and then drop it. No, they continued to tell him again and again and again that they had seen Jesus and that he is alive. He has come back from the grave and that he is risen indeed from the dead. Thomas, we are told, refused to believe them. But he didn't reject them, and nor did the other disciples reject Thomas either. And then according to our text, a week later, Thomas was with them again in the house, and we are told the door was locked. Nobody could get in. Now, he wasn't sure that Jesus had actually appeared to the disciples as they had been telling him, or that Jesus, if he did appear, would appear again. But apparently Thomas was with them because he thought, well, if Jesus does appear again, I want to be there with the rest of the disciples. And what happened? To Thomas's amazement, miraculously, Jesus appeared out of thin air. He was present with them right in that room with the door locked. He came in a very special way. He showed Thomas, we are told, the scars in his hand, both hands, from the nails that were driven through his hands, and the marking where the spear was shoved into his side. And Thomas, immediately recognizing Jesus, recognizing these wounds, recognizing what the disciples had told him was true, confessed to Jesus. He said, "You are my Lord, and you are my God." Thomas believed that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. Now we want to back up for a moment. When Jesus appeared before Thomas and the disciples, he said something important. He said, "Peace be with you." Now, some of you are familiar with that word peace, shalom. In the original language, it means absent of conflict, a total peace, a well-being, where one just feels completely at peace with nothing bothering them at all. And it even goes beyond that when we talk about the spiritual implications of the peace that God gives us in Christ Jesus. Now, Thomas needed to hear those words, "Peace be with you." He needed to hear those words just as the disciples needed to hear those very words a week earlier when Jesus appeared to them. He said, "Peace be with you." In my mind, I'm thinking that Jesus was saying to Thomas, right there and then, when he said, "Peace be with you, all is forgiven, Thomas." As he said to the disciples a week earlier, "All is forgiven. I forgive you for abandoning me when I was arrested, for not being there when I was nailed to the cross. I forgive you for not believing the women who told the disciples a week earlier that he had risen. And they didn't believe it until Jesus appeared before them behind locked doors." And now he was saying to Thomas too, "I forgive you as well for your lack of faith." And he worshiped Jesus. And he said, "You are my Lord and you are my God." Thomas realized that the words of the disciples was true and trustworthy. He believed what they said. Thomas realized also the word of peace that Jesus brought to him was also true. It gave him peace and comfort in knowing that Jesus had forgiven him. And that peace not only did Jesus bring and give to the disciples, he brings it to us this morning. And in fact, if we think about it, Jesus is the embodiment of God, of Almighty God, who is peace. He brings peace to us, and he is peace. And when we have him in our life, when we know Jesus Christ, when we walk with him, we experience that peace, that joy, that comfort, that knowing that God will never abandon us, just like he never abandoned the disciples or Thomas or any of his followers. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified," or just as if we have not sinned, "we have peace with God, and this is through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. We have the forgiveness of sins. And that's what we celebrate every Sunday as we gather together. And this peace, again, as we are reminded in Scripture, which is the focal point of the New Testament, was won for us through the innocent suffering and death of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. God has given his peace to those who receive and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's the peace that we find when we come to church. We hear from the Word of God. We receive from the sacraments. And from that very moment on, that very evening when Jesus appeared to Thomas, and after he made that confession, Thomas dedicated his entire life to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the risen Savior. Thomas spent the rest of his life proclaiming and testifying wherever he went, just like the rest of the disciples did, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, tradition tells us something interesting about Thomas. Like all of the disciples or apostles, as they became, died martyrs' deaths, except for the apostle John. Thomas took the gospel as far as India, tradition tells us, where he converted many Hindus to Christianity, to believers in Christ and the power of his resurrection and the forgiveness of sins. And it was there, we are told, that he died a martyr's death by being struck by a spear. A spear. A spear pierced his body. Now, I find it ironic, very ironic, that he himself, who wanted to see the pierce marks of Christ in his hands and in his side, is himself pierced by a spear and dies a martyr's death. What our gospel lesson for today means for us is clear. First, it means that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and today we can celebrate we are forgiven, and we have new life with God because of this forgiveness, and we have new life with God who is personal and intimate, in whom we can go to and call our very own Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us, as Jeremiah says, with an everlasting love. Who takes our sins and divides them as far as the east is from the west, and then never remembers them ever again. What a wonderful God we have as Christian people. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how they each acted in order to bring about our reconciliation and salvation. And we praise God for all of that here this morning. Now, on a practical point, as we look at this text, what does it mean? What can we come out of it from a practical point? And I believe there is indeed a lesson here, and that is we should be patient or long-suffering with those who were like Thomas at the beginning, who are weak in their faith. Now, the disciples, as we notice here, did not denounce Thomas for his unbelief or doubt. Nor did they exclude him from their fellowship. Rather, they kept on telling him and witnessing to him and proclaiming to him that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. They hung in there with Thomas without letting his skepticism create bitterness and anger in their heart to the point that they were ready to say, Thomas, why don't you just go away? You don't believe any of this. They didn't want to drive Thomas away. They wanted him to come to faith in the risen Christ, just as they had. They wouldn't let that skepticism cause them to do that. Which brings me to a question this morning, and that is, do you know someone in your life, seems like we all probably do, like Thomas, who's a skeptic? I've met many of them over the years as a pastor and tried to patiently work with them and point them to the Word of God. And many times that Word would bring comfort to their hearts and they would come out of that doubt or that questioning in their minds. But if there's someone you know who's like Thomas and is doubting, don't give up on them. Continue to pray for them and point them to the Word of God. Even, I think, point them to this very text and say, hey, there's someone in Scripture kind of like you. He doubted too at the beginning. He didn't believe in Jesus at the beginning. But look what happened to him. Jesus appeared to him, and he became a believer and gave his life for the gospel, for the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And I think in our text here also it means that when we ourselves are experiencing doubt, and that can happen, the devil throws a lot of things at us. When things in our life aren't going well, sometimes doubt can creep in. When there's sickness or tragedy that we don't understand because of our sinful nature, Sometimes we have doubt come into our minds. And we would do well here not to absent ourselves from God's family when that happens. We would do well not to absent ourselves from the community of believers, the community of faith. That's when you see we need God's word the most. That's when we need the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ the most, when we are hurting. And I can guarantee if you tell someone you're hurting about something in this family, they're going to lift you up in prayer. They're going to call you up and see how you're doing later in the week. They're going to be concerned about you. Because that's what we're called to do as believers. Love God, love others, and remember, show it. That's when we need the church the most. To receive that encouragement from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ during those trials or temptations that we might face in our lives. Not only did the disciples here hang in with Thomas, I guess we could say Thomas hung in there with them too. He kept on talking to the disciples instead of storming off in anger because they kept reminding him and telling him of the resurrection of Christ. He hung in there with them. And again, we find him here in our text a week after the resurrection, a week after Easter, with the disciples in that upper room once again. Today, the church, the mission of the church, is to go out into the world and to declare the same peace that Thomas received from Jesus to all people. The same peace. When we go out and say, the peace of the Lord be with you. God's peace goes with us and is given to people. Just as certain as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, when we say, the peace of the Lord be with you, or be with you always, our prayer, and it is a prayer from our heart, is not a word of wishful thinking. But actually, when we say, the peace of the Lord be with you, is a declaration. It's a proclamation that God gives us his peace, gives us his presence, gives us his strength, and gives us power to live a new life. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in a relationship with Christ, and Christ lives in them through faith, they are a new creation. That's peace. A new beginning that God provides us in Christ amidst all of the challenges of life. So the church does not announce to a broken world, to a world where people's lives have been shattered by despair, by discouragement, or by sin, or by the devil, I hope things get better for you. We don't say, I hope things get better for you when we talk about the peace of God. No, we speak with the authority of the word of Christ our Lord himself, a word of sure peace, sure comfort, and sure forgiveness, and sure salvation. You see, that peace, that forgiveness, and that salvation is all backed up by the blood of Jesus, the very blood of our Lord. It gives us that sure hope. It stills the chaos at times in our own lives and promises to calm the chaos and the troubled storms in the lives of others around us. It brings us that wonderful gift of peace, that shalom, a peace that God gives us. And I believe when we get to heaven, that peace is even going to be far beyond that when we're in the presence of God. True peace. Peace that comes from knowing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ as our Lord. And today I think all of you can agree with me that the world needs this peace more than ever before. We look at our world in this postmodern culture where everything, some people will tell us, is relative. There is no right, there is no wrong, everything's a gray area. But when we open up the scriptures, there is a right, there is a wrong. God has given his commandments to guide us through life so that we can have peace in our life by following the commandments of God. Those commandments weren't given us, we refer to it as the law, but it's really the love of God that brought about the Ten Commandments. If we follow those commandments, our life will be happy by living in peace with one another and not in conflict. The world needs that peace more than ever today. They need to hear that God was in Christ reconciling the entire world unto him, not counting men's sins against them. Meaning that God has forgiven the world through Jesus. But yet not everyone in the world believes this. And that's where the mission of the church comes in, to proclaim that message to people everywhere. Yes, through Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection, we have the assurance of God's peace. In Christ, we see God's unconditional love for each and every person here this morning and throughout the world. And the final point in this morning's gospel is that we can believe even though we have not yet seen. Now, when we look at our text, Jesus did not scold or rebuke Thomas for having doubt. Rather, he encouraged him to trust the witnesses of the disciples and what they said regarding his resurrection, and believe the word that they testified. Jesus also said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me with your own eyes? Because you have touched me with your own hands to see that I have a physical body, that I am risen from the dead indeed." When he said, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" When I look at this passage, I think of Jesus kind of lifting his eyes beyond Thomas to all people beyond that moment in time, even to today. Lifting his eyes to look beyond to his future church, to you and me, and then saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We are blessed by believing in Jesus. And how is it that we can believe when we actually were not there? When we actually did not see or touch Jesus? We believe because we have heard from the risen Christ his very own words. Those words are powerful words. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God. It's what has changed the world today and through the preaching of the gospel through the centuries. Indeed, the message of Christ has brought about a transformation in the world because of it. We believe because we have heard the word of the crucified and risen Lord, as it is proclaimed to us in the word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation, and in the sacraments. We believe because the Holy Spirit has brought us the faith in Christ through the means of grace of holy baptism and continues to strengthen our faith and give us that manna as we travel through this life, through this wilderness, through this veil of tears at times, to the heavenly home that God has prepared for us in Christ Jesus. We know and believe that through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven people. And as John said in his epistle lesson this morning, that we are children of God. And as Paul writes, we have victory over sin, death, and the devil through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are promised eternal life with God forever in heaven. But that life doesn't just begin when we die, it begins the moment we come to faith. The new life, the joy that God gives us as his very people. As Jesus declared to Thomas, "So I say to you, the peace of the Lord be with you all."